I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is a Hat Trick
podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You?
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the main show is a prize-winning Crufts entry, then we're a scrappy little shih tzu.
Cute.
Sort of cute. I don't know if they are that cute, to be honest. It's funny because I went to the Westminster dog show at Madison Square Garden while I was out here. I did an event which was Meet the Breeds, where you meet loads of dogs of different breeds.
Did you go on your own?
No, I have people that I'm friends with, so that's okay. That's
okay, cool. Good,
thankfully.
Yeah.
Just doing stuff in New York just on my own. But it's confusingly called the Westminster Dog Show, which they also have the Westminster Dog Show in Westminster, which is when all the MPs get their dogs and show them off on Parliament Square.
They just bring one person from the House of Lords each.
Yeah, they get their BDSM gear out.
Like on a lead. They like kind of drag them around.
It just reminded me of Crufts, so I just thought I'd bring it.
No, it's nice. I'm sorry for shitting on it immediately.
Shih-tzu-ing on it.
Nice. Okay, that's a clean
end.
Welcome to the show, guys. Hello.
Thank you.
Lovely to get straight into it. It's our last episode of the series, which is quite wild, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm joking.
Mike would probably have come in earlier at this stage and taken the mickey out of one of my stories. So that's kind of an indication that he's not here.
We miss him.
But
it's a loss.
Although he can't make it, he has, of course, sent us a voice note to compensate. So let's have a listen.
Hi all, sorry I'm not there for the final pod of the series, but at least now you can enjoy talking about things like memes and the Rizzler. And there'll be no one there to roll their eyes about it. So, yeah, go to town. I would have joined you, but I've made a promise not to do any work whatsoever until Tottenham win another game. So, I guess this is my retirement.
Is that it? Oh, no.
I've been informed that is actually not the last we're going to hear of Mike.
Whoa.
Don't worry.
Oh.
We are going to hear from him again at some point. But round one, discussing the big story of the week. This big announcement week that Labour are going for, it looks like they're going to be cutting a lot of things, including welfare bill, which is going to be one thing. They're also cutting down of planning permission. They're also going to be talking about getting civil servants back in the office and getting rid of civil servants. So it's like, it's this big week of announcements in terms of the less fun stuff from them.
Cuts, cuts, cuts.
Yeah, I think they were maybe hoping it could go under the radar while all the geopolitics stuff is happening.
Yeah, we were due like a really depressing announcement. So I'm glad we finally got it and we weren't waiting.
I think last week was like the 6 month high in terms of Starmer's approval ratings and kind of how they were doing because of his way of like stepping up with Ukraine. And even the change in Starmer's polls, it took him from minus 33 to minus 23, which they're citing as like a massive achievement. And you kind of think it has to be being taken to the brink of a European war to really give Keir a boost. You know, like you got to think, okay, what else are they going to do next time they need to up the stakes in the popularity contest? It's like, oh, I wonder if Estonia could get into some kind of, you know, military trouble.
Yeah, I dread to think what takes them into the positive.
Yeah.
Even though people are impressed by the way he stepped up in Ukraine, I love that he's calling it a coalition of the willing. Which is so British.
What?
In that it's kind of like...
No, it sounds like a superhero thing, like Justice League or something to me. Sorry,
it sounds
Jack.
Like a... No, like
Coalition
a
of the Willing.
Harry Potter book. Harry Potter and the Coalition of the Willing.
Coalition of the Mighty or Coalition... Do you know what I mean? That sounds like more like a Marvel thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Coalition of the Willing is like, yeah, I suppose it could help out. If, you know, just let me know.
Yeah, that's like the bare minimum of commitment.
I guess I could bake something for you. You know, just let me know about that.
Like, I guess.
What would he bake, I wonder?
What would he bring to the potluck of the UN?
Well, he had a little foreword in the kebab awards.
You what?
Yeah, in the kebab awards, he had a little note to say, congratulations to all the winners.
Sorry, I'm not completely up to date on the kebab awards.
Because you know Corbyn won an award, didn't he, for kebab?
You're talking about this like this is common knowledge. Sorry.
Corbyn was somehow involved like in the kebab awards. But then Keir Starmer wrote a foreword in the recent kebab awards. But within that, he managed to get in a message about growth within it and how growth was still the biggest thing we're pushing for, which you think that's quite impressive.
Kind of ironic.
Interesting.
Because kebabs get smaller as you cut away.
Yeah.
But with the welfare cuts and we're back.
No, but since we're talking about baked goods, I read a literally sickly sweet baked good story, which is John Healey, the defence secretary, went to the US and sat down with Pete Hegseth and
good
apparently
guy.
Everyone around the table was given
dynamic duo
one cookie with a Union Jack on and one cookie with stars and stripes on. And apparently Peter Mandelson said he really liked them. And Hegseth said, oh, I can give you the whole supply if you want anything for the special relationship.
Oh, God.
It's so gross. It's like a little tea party.
Wait, so hold on. America gave the cookies?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And then said he could have the whole batch.
We would give biscuits, wouldn't we?
But talking of the Hegseth, John Healey thing, they're talking about using Trumpian language to cut the civil servants.
Yeah.
And it does feel very dogey, doesn't it?
Dogesque,
yes.
That makes it sound too good.
It's weird because when they started talking about like how the federal government and all this sort of stuff in the US was like this big kind of immovable blob, and we were talking about earlier, they used the tofu eating wokarati.
Mm-hmm.
With that, it felt like Doge was kind of mirroring what the Tories had done, but they've done the classic American thing, which is like just to supersize it and just go hell for leather. And that's the difference between the UK and the US, is that like we tried it and Jacob Rees-Mogg went and put around post-it notes on people's desks saying, you should be here in the office. Whereas Elon Musk goes, nah, we're just going to fire loads of people, which is a slightly different vibe.
Keir Starmer wrote to civil servants, I think today, and he said, we know many of you feel shackled by bureaucracy, frustrated by inefficiency and unable to harness new technology. Your talent has been constrained for too long. And have either of you guys been watching Severance?
Yeah.
Because that is such a Severance phrasing to me. And he's literally called Keir.
Lumen.
Like the Messiah figure in Severance.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I understand how that's the perfect analogy, but I'm like, it's going over my head.
Severance is an Apple TV show where there's a bunch of workers in an office. They don't really know what they're doing, but they're clicking on computers all day.
All my most annoying friends keep telling me to watch Severance.
You should watch it, Gwynnie. What was the sentence about technological...
Unable to harness new technology.
Unable to harness new technology is the sort of thing. It's like a very formal way of me talking to my mum when she's trying to work a laptop or an iPad. I can only apologise.
That would be such a nice, polite way.
Instead of me just losing my mind, which is the common occurrence. The interesting thing is you hear a lot about, I always love this, disgruntled backbenchers, which you sort of think this like kind of amorphous blob of disgruntled backbenchers who are all really unhappy about the benefits cuts and they kind of say they're going to do something about it. But supposedly because of this whole Ukraine thing and they want to be seen as a united party, they're all sort of like pushing each other to the front, all the backbenchers, to be like, you bring it up. No, you bring it up. Because no one wants to kind of see to be this thing of like there being no unity in the party.
Me and my friends did that once in the Dracula experience in Whitby. We just kept pushing people to the front because we were too scared of it.
Are you saying Keir Starmer's Dracula? Is that what you're saying?
Call Parliament the Dracula experience, yeah.
But yeah, Dracula is facing all of his MPs this evening, and supposedly none of them want to actually bring up the fact they're not happy about it.
Really?
Again, because of the brink of European war, Starmer saved, which is key.
Yeah, and also I guess like the opposition to them hasn't been super strong at the moment, right? Like Kemi Badenoch, people generally seem to think she's not performing too well at question time. And Reform are kind of imploding at the moment, aren't they?
Yay! It's actually not good news for us. I kind of wish they were doing better.
What, the to have like a thread, sorry.
He's getting all emotional about Reform.
I just hate seeing Nigel have a hard time, guys. Basically, it comes back to the benefit cuts stuff, because the reason Labour are doing that is because they want to nick voters from the Reform side, right? So they're kind of like doing that thing is like throw some policies that kind of fit to them. But like you say, Emerald, it's all kicking off in Club Reform, which I think would be a great place to go. I'd go.
What would be their cocktail of choice?
A Club Reform, bitters are free.
I think bitter is a good, I think bitter, just yeah. bitters.
That's their cocktail.
Bitters only.
Yeah. But they've had this big infighting. Like Rupert Lowe, who was an MP, has been suspended. He'd been accused of bullying. But when did it happen? When did the bullying accusation come about?
Exactly when Elon Musk was praising Rupert Lowe and bashing Farage, right?
Exactly, yeah. And then he has gone into...
Oh, so Jack's saying it's made up.
I'm not saying it's made up.
Yeah.
I've never met the guy and there's accusations and they are. But his claim is that it coincided with him criticising Nigel Farage.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty salty about it, which is quite funny.
Do you not think both could be true? I feel like the bullying claim is true and also Nigel Farage yeah. doesn't like that he's got some praise.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just been suspended from the party. Mm. I think it happened on Friday and it was Sunday night that he tweeted to say the mode of transport for Reform MPs has now shifted from a black cab to the back of a moped. So he's like digging out his own party to say how few MPs they have that they can all go on the back of a moped. I just thought, oh,
that's not the worst insult I've ever heard.
But
it's pretty good.
I love it. I love the fact that he's gone straight for it. No messing about. He's just like, yeah, sod these guys. I'm just going to dig them out.
Also, back of a moped sounds cooler, in my opinion.
What, all of them side saddle?
You know?
Lee Anderson, Richard Tice and Nigel Farage. All
it's like Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
Stacked up on top of each other. Yeah.
All of them hugging onto each other is just funny. Lee Anderson kind of embracing yeah. Farage and Tice with his big arms. Hey guys, I'm in America right now. I can't remember if I mentioned that.
Here we God. Go. Yeah, once or twice.
Well, one of the things that's been super useful for me out here in the US has been getting NordVPN on my laptop.
A VPN is a virtual private network, which basically means it encrypts your online activity and hides your IP address. So it means you're protected from any third parties trying to access your personal information.
And I use it when I'm out the country, so I know when I log on anywhere on a public Wi-Fi network, I'm protected online.
What's the time there at the moment? I'm working on Eastern Standard Time. East Coast, baby. So you're probably nearly asleep, right? That makes sense. You didn't react to my whole America thing. You're just tired.
Oh, yeah, totally. Definitely the time difference.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/in the news.
Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan, and there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee.
You can find the link in the podcast episode description box.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
So welcome back to In the News this week. Before we go into round two, I've been told we've got another voice note from Mike, which has been set up to be a fun game. So no pressure from Mike at all.
Did you put fun in quotation marks?
I did, yeah.
I didn't want to leave you guys completely empty-handed for the last show, so I have got an odd one out for you. So I'll give you the four options to see if you can work it out.
Yeah.
We've got the Museum of Diplomacy in Finland, actor Millie Bobby Brown, Shrek and Meghan Markle's new TV show. Which one's the odd one out and why?
Okay, immediately I've got a couple guesses.
I think I might know
okay.
this.
Okay.
But I got
Okay, will you let me ruminate?
Yeah, 100%.
Millie Bobby Brown came out with a statement about how the media treats young women who are like growing up in the spotlight.
And has been criticising her appearance
as
well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then Shrek. I love that these are the two that I know. And Shrek. There's a new Shrek film that's like animated differently. Mm-hmm. For what reason? I'm so angry about it. But anyway.
How's it animated differently?
It's just like a bit more modern.
And he looks smooth and Botoxed.
And everyone's really angry. It's been criticised for not looking as good.
Who would want better technology? No thanks.
I'm just trying to work out the other two because I feel like has one of them got criticism for its appearance?
So you've got Museum of Diplomacy.
Meghan Markle's TV show.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle's TV show was criticised for being like boring and not authentic, right?
Oh, you know what? I bet the Museum of Diplomacy has had some kind of change because it's in Finland and there's a new Russian threat. That is my guess.
Mm.
So.
That's really smart.
Can I tell you my thinking?
Jack's got it. Yeah.
Go for it.
Millie Bobby Brown recently said that her actual name is Millie Bonnie Brown. So her middle name is Bonnie.
What?
You're really inside this story.
Museum of Diplomacy, I reckon, might have changed its name. Emerald Dust, I think you're on the same thing.
Mm.
Megan's cooking show, I think, maybe had to change its name.
Oh, she said her surname was
Sussex
when it's not.
Yes.
It's Windsor.
And then Shrek, I don't know.
Shrek's changed his face, but he hasn't changed his name.
Oh, that's really good. Okay, I like that. We're so excited now because ignorance is bliss and we're going to get it completely wrong, but currently we're so excited.
Okay, I'm fairly sure you'll have got this or got pretty close to it.
Oh, God, here we go.
But the answer is they've all had their appearance criticised, except for the Museum of Diplomacy in Finland, which has a new appearance to avoid criticism.
Oh.
So the museum in Finland, it's been around since 1946 and was opened as a symbol of Finnish-Russian friendship as a Lenin museum, so as to all things Lenin. But this month, obviously given the circumstances and the fact that Finland are sort of worrying about getting invaded by Russia, it closed its doors and it reopened this month under a new name, Nuti, Nootti, which refers to the Finnish word for a diplomatic note, and they've got rid of all their Lenin stuff. New exhibits at the museum include one on the collapse of the Russian Empire and also one on Finnish independence. Millie Bobby Brown was criticised this week for her appearance. Matt Lucas compared her to one of his characters from Little Britain with a sort of pink outfit she was wearing, which may or may not have been funny, I don't know, but it came with a barrage of some not very nice posts. He's now apologised and she's done a really good job of standing up for herself. Shrek, of course, you all know this. The new trailer's upset people. They don't like his appearance. They're saying Shrek's face has changed. I'll let you guys talk about this because I'm sure you have plenty to say. It's quite funny people caring that much about this when we're probably all going to die in a nuclear Armageddon pretty soon.
Priorities,
Meghan Markle sort of rebranded. She's done this TV show and its appearance has been criticised. I think just generally for existing, but also just the way it's been shot, the tone deafness of it. I read some reviews. I couldn't believe it was that bad. I actually watched some. I actually watched it.
Thanks,
and
Mike.
It makes the biggest case for cancelling your Netflix and why BBC and iPlayer are so great. Because I can't imagine they've ever put anything that bad on TV. So there you go. That's all for me. I hope you have a great show, guys. I'll see you soon.
He's a company man. Aww. Getting a plug for iPlayer. I like that. Yeah. Well, I feel like we kind of got it. I'm going to say we got it.
We got so close. In fact, I think I did get it.
I'm going to say Emerald got it and Jack really thought he got it.
I really enjoyed that. What I also loved is Mike pointing out, he's like, why would anyone care about this? The one person who really cared was Queenie. I loved it.
So, yeah. And I stand by that.
Okay, we're going to move on. Thank you, Mike, for that. That was very fun.
Thanks, Mike.
Round two, we're going for it. We've each brought a new story from the past week that we think would be great for round two of the show. So, Emerald, you're up first. What have you got for us this week?
I have a story about something that thousands of people are tuning in to watch.
Shrek.
It's not Crufts.
Can't be Have I Got News For You Yet, because it's not on yet. Mm-hmm. They are tuning in to watch a live webcam submersed in a canal lock in Utrecht in the Netherlands. And that's because they've been tasked with looking for fish trapped in this lock. And if you spot one of these fish on this live webcam, then you can press a button, the fish doorbell, and it will alert the lock keeper. And the lock keeper will open the lock and the fish can go through, and that saves them from predatory birds.
So. This is incredible. This is how society is meant to work. Also, are there any positions for lock keeper open?
Hold on. Society is supposed to work by tormenting a poor man working on a lock. He will have to constantly
No, it's doing his job for him.
The guy loves it. The guy loves it.
He can read. He can go for a walk. He can listen to a podcast.
This is like Knockdown Ginger, like amplified to a million.
Lockdown Ginger.
Oh,
very good.
Let's just end the podcast now. You've done it, Queenie.
Okay. It's the last episode. I had to bring out the big guns.
Now, you guys are assuming that you see fish often enough, but they've interviewed a few of the people watching it. One of them is the administrator of the Fish Doorbell Fan Club on Facebook. And she said she started watching the stream last year, but she's only ever rung the bell 5 to 10 times. But she still logs on a few times a day, often for about 20 minutes before bed, to watch this screen.
To watch? Just watch like a bit of brown water?
It's kind of green.
I'm so anti this lock
thing. I love that Jack's taken the offensive on it.
Oh, it's great. Have you looked at Emerald?
Yeah, I've had a look.
How many times have you rung the bell?
I didn't see any fish. I rang the bell 0 times. No, because I'm being a good citizen, Jack.
It makes me really sad that you would test this, Jack. You'd be really mean about it.
Listen, I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't look at the webcam in the first place. But the thing is, there's a Venn diagram of 3 circles. Got too much time.
Oh my God.
Interested in fish, but also a bit of a scoundrel. A bit of a scallywag.
And you're not describing yourself?
Yeah.
No, I'm not, actually.
Are you sure?
Maybe 2 of the 3 in there. But in that central bit there is going to be someone who is going to be...
You're not a scoundrel.
Ringing that doorbell like nobody's business.
I think you need more faith in your track.
In humanity.
I agree.
As a city.
Because not only did I watch this doorbell, but I also watched a 10-minute vlog post from the fish doorbell people. The guy showed some clips from the past week, which included a leaf and a piece of plastic. He had his fish forecast for the week ahead, and his fish forecast is he really expects to see fish this week.
This is incredible.
This fish doorbell, I think they should set up an equivalent in Clacton, and it can be a Farage doorbell, and you can press a button every time you see a Farage enter Clacton.
And it'll be silent for all of time.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Emerald. As much as I was kind of finding poke holes in it, I do like canals.
You know, people who like canals are called gongoozlers.
Oh, gongoozlers.
You need to work on QI.
I'll take that.
Gongoozlers.
Queenie, what's your round 2 story this week?
My round 2 story this week is an artist has abandoned his plan to starve piglets to death after the animals were stolen.
Oh my God.
Good one to go out on, Queenie's last episode. I read this, I thought, that's pretty grim, isn't it, that story? Guess what?
And I was like, round 2.
So this artist, he was going to purposely starve these pigs, was he?
Yes, as part of like an eccentric, controversial exhibition. The piglets' name are Lucia, Simon and Benjamin. Why did he name them if he was starving to death?
Yeah, and giving them human names as well is kind of odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents have a dog called Norman.
Norman the dog is
great. That's great.
He said his intention was to raise awareness about the cruelties of modern pig production in Denmark. However, he was doing modern pig cruelty.
What the hell?
It doesn't sound like he's thought it through that much, to be honest.
Doesn't sound like he's thought any of it through.
The piglets were being denied food and water and would have been allowed to starve to death. But the artist's friend helped animal rights activists to break into the gallery and free the piglets after his 10-year-old daughter begged him to make sure the piggies won't die.
Wow.
The funny part of this story is that after the pigs were stolen, he said, "I called up the police on Saturday to report the piglets stolen, and I had to shut down the entire exhibition because of that. So I was very disappointed when Casper, his friend, told me on Tuesday that he was involved in the theft. But then I thought about it for a few hours and realised at least this way the piglets would have a happy life."
Oh my God.
After the pigs were stolen, he changed his mind. He was like, "Oh, yeah, it might be nice to, you know, let them live." And I think that's bullshit. I think that he just got found out.
Yeah.
The fact that someone can steal it and then he's like, "Yeah, that works, doesn't it?"
Also, the fact that the piglet's been stolen meant he had to shut the whole exhibition down. I feel like he hadn't made any other artworks. I think he just sort of... not done his homework, maybe.
Do you reckon it was like it was the day before the exhibition? He went, "Oh, crap, I haven't done any paintings." phones up his mate. You still got those piglets? Still looking to try and sell those piglets? Yeah, we'll do something about consumerism or something. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Yeah.
What's quite interesting now is that he's in the process of acquiring dead animals that have died of starvation. So he's like not doing the starvation himself this time because he was like, oh, maybe that was a bad idea.
I'm going to be honest with you.
He's just paying people for having done it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go for a beer with this guy. Anyway. So my story is about this artist who decided to slaughter 50 people to see what it was like to kill. And no, my story.
That sounds fun.
I believed you for half a second.
My story this week is about a Scottish kebab pie has been crowned UK Pie of Pies.
Oh, is this what Keir Starmer's been
all over?
Oh no, that was the Kebab Awards 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
This is now the UK Pie of Pies.
Are you missing England, Jack?
I think I am, you know, because I think I'm pining for some solid British food.
You're like, pining.
Because a pie in America, totally different story. They don't really understand the idea of a pie in the same way. So the idea of a Scottish pie that's filled with kebab, it's hitting all levels I need to get.
I'm really pro this story.
900 entries for UK Pie of Pies.
Whoa.
They were like, oh, these are the kind of crazy pies you're going to get, like a flour salmon chai matchai pie.
Whoa.
A Caribbean-style jerk-spiced turkey pie with cranberry sauce.
Sounds excellent.
And then they go, and a chicken tikka pie, which is pretty standard, I think. The winner, so doner kebab filling made from chicken, beef, and a chili marinade with a sweet chili sauce. It's getting a little bit dangerously close to my sweet and savoury dislike, but what I really liked in the story is they talked about it. The guy who won, Scottish guy, had been trying to win since 2009. He cried when they won, and he said he was shaking with emotion, which I absolutely love.
Aww.
Who do we think said that pies are the most important contribution to world food heritage?
Pork pies, if it was Liz Truss.
Oh, very good.
No, it's the chairman of the Melton Pork Pie Association, host of the British Pie Awards. Big fan of pies.
Oh.
How many pies do you think we eat every year as a nation?
I don't really like pies.
What a time to bring this up, Emerald.
Oh my God.
In the middle of the story.
20 episodes
in. And can I tell you something else truly, I think this will annoy a lot of people, but I've never had a kebab from a kebab shop.
Now, we need to get you this kebab pie stat to really sort you out, to cover all bases.
But anyway, how many pies do Brits eat?
1 billion pounds of pie every year.
Insane. I'd argue that's just for Staffordshire.
What do you think was the inspiration for this kebab pie? What kind of inspired the makers to think, you know what, let's put kebab in a pie?
They ran out of things to put in a pie.
Not a bad reason.
That's quite an inspirational.
Apparently, young customers started asking them to make a pie with kebab meat in.
Oh.
There we go. Pretty rude one.
Oh, so it was the Gen Zers.
They're like, oh, what's the inspiration? It's like, someone just asked to put kebab in a pie. So we thought, yeah, we'll do that.
That was a great story. I really enjoyed that.
That was great.
It felt very domestic, that, didn't it? Pies, canals, dead pigs.
Yeah.
This is a paid advertisement from Manscaped.
So, Mike, unlike you, I'm a fan of a beard, but like all men, we're at the mercy of the Daily Shave, whether we're opting for a clean face, a hipster beard, or the Tom Selleck moustache that I wish I had.
Whatever floats your boat, mate, Manscaped have got you covered with their range of shavers, from the all-in-one grooming with the beard hedger to the excellently named lawnmower, which will handle all the other hair on your body, and I mean all. With its dual blade system and skin safe technology, the lawnmower keeps things fresh and smooth, even in the most sensitive spots, you know what I mean?
And if you're traveling, like me, they both have an hour of runtime on battery, a built-in travel lock, and a waterproof design, so you can use them in the shower too.
We've been lucky enough to have been gifted some beard hedges here at the pod, and frankly, with 20 adjustable settings, you're spoilt for choice in having all the tools you need to achieve whatever look you're after. Not only that, but the lawnmower comes with an LED spotlight, so not only will you never miss a spot, but I reckon it could double as a handy flashlight during a power cut.
Be prepared. I like it.
Well, I don't think these should just be for you guys. A shaver with a torch included? I'm in. If you would like a risk-free trial, Manscaped offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can try the Beard and Balls bundle completely risk-free.
Don't cut corners in your grooming routine. Upgrade to the Beard and Balls bundle from Manscaped.
Visit manscaped.com and use the code INTHENEWS to get 20% off plus free shipping.
Or, if you need it today, you can find Manscaped at a store near you.
Stay fresh this season, for everyone's sake. Level up your grooming game today.
Can we all stop saying beard and balls bundle now?
Finally, it's time for round three, the missing words round. I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week, and you just need to fill in the missing words. So, first up, Trump suggests astronauts stranded in space might what?
I know the answer to this, and the real one's hilarious. So right. I can't possibly think of anything else.
Might be able to tell him where Lesotho is.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he have trouble with that the other week?
Mm.
Or where they're conducting all these transgender mice operations.
We need to find that out, and soon.
The answer is Trump suggests astronauts stranded in space might learn to love each other.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, that is so funny. He just happens to be the most evil person on the planet, but that is hilarious.
It was him classically just busking, talking about something he knew nothing about and was like, yeah, he's been left up there by Biden. He didn't want to get him down, so Elon's going to sort them out.
Maybe they'll fall in love.
He's like, they've probably got some stuff. Maybe they'll fall in love. I mean, I think both happily married, both the people in the astronauts.
Oh, no.
Because Roy Wood Jr., who hosts the American show, ends every show by saying, and there's still two astronauts stranded in space. Which is quite
no
fun.
No way.
But they've been up there now for, I think, 280 days, which, is a stint, given they were supposed to be up there for 7 days.
Oh, wow.
And they were replacing a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
He also commented on her hair as well. He was like, she's got a great head of hair. Oh,
but that's because it's standing up, right?
Because of the gravity. Yeah.
She doesn't understand how zero gravity works.
Stupid. He's so, so stupid.
Next, missing words. King Charles names what as a favourite what?
Ooh, I love a double one.
Is
it Prince Andrew's favourite relative?
Is it either something about Bob Marley?
Ooh.
I think it's a Bob Marley song. Name something as his
favourite song.
Because he's been going on about how much he loves Bob Marley, Kylie Minogue.
He's got that new Radio 4 show, doesn't he? Is it Radio 4?
I think it's an Apple
show. Again. The King's show. Music Room. You're pretty close, Emerald.
There you go.
You're on the right track.
Is it Fergalicious?
Oh, I know, yeah, I know. Doesn't he love The Locomotion by Kylie Minogue?
I love how invested in this story you are.
I don't know how I know all this as well.
You're very close, but actually it is. King Charles names a classic Beyonce track as a favourite tune. And the police are clearly not happy about it from the science
crazy in love.
You can currently hear now.
Yeah, have you been saying too many mean things about Trump, Jack?
Yeah.
You're not telling us which song.
It's Beyonce's Crazy in Love, sorry.
Was it actually? I said in love as a joke.
He likes Crazy in Love.
Oh, I said that as a joke.
Because she performed it somewhere and he obviously, it was the first time, he's like, what is this? What is this enchantment?
Also, Jay-Z has a rap in that where he mentions having like the best fur of chinchilla. And I do feel like that would probably resonate with King Charles.
Yeah, he's like, this guy gets me. This guy gets me.
Yeah,
he's got all his bling, yeah.
I thought maybe the reason he liked the song is because it has the lyrics, uh-oh, no, which is presumably what he said when he found out what Prince Andrew had been up to.
Very nice. Good. I thought it'd be Slipping Through My Fingers by ABBA. Because
oh,
nothing can.
Oh.
I may just clock that. That's good. and it was to celebrate Commonwealth Day, bizarrely. Not in the Commonwealth, Beyonce, but he's chucked it anyway. Okay.
Not in the Commonwealth.
She is a queen.
Next up, suspect steals $700,000 of jewellery and then what?
Eats it.
Yeah, you've got it, Queenie. That's actually what it is.
What?
Genuinely.
What, really?
No, you're joking.
Yeah, what? You've
you're
it.
Joking.
Suspect steals $700,000 of jewellery and then swallows it.
Wow, Queenie.
It's a man in Florida.
I've never done anything better in my life.
Nicked all this jewellery from a shopping mall. He just like ran in, pretended he was working with a basketball player and then nicked these earrings and ran away. And there's an amazing body scan picture that you would love, Queenie, picture researching.
I'm rubbing my hands together like a fly.
You can see this, like, earrings in the middle of his stomach, which, to be fair, given the American healthcare system, if he hasn't got insurance, it's a good way to just get a checkup, you know, get a free x-ray. What I like about this is he later said to police, I should have thrown them out the window. Which the regret in that sentence.
He had a poorly tummy.
I love the idea of what's going through his head where as soon as he swallows those earrings, he goes, I shouldn't have done that.
That is like an old like comedy film gag. It's like you swallow something that you've stolen because you don't know where to put it.
Yeah.
No one actually does that apart from this guy.
$700,000 worth of jewellery. It's a lot, isn't it?
Don't let him near the crown jewels.
Don't let him near the crown jewels because he'd have a really bad stomach.
Yeah, for his sake.
Crowning jewels.
Thank you for listening to In the News this week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now. We'll see you in summer for the next series of the podcast. But whilst you're waiting, make sure you tune in to the next series of the TV show Have I Got News For You, which starts on Friday the 4th of April. So for now, bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. For old time's sake, bye.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,